In this episode of Political Ideologies, I'll be talking about the life and works of Thomas Hobbes. Born on the eve of the Spanish Armada in 1588, Hobbes famously stated that his mother gave birth to twins, both himself and fear. In many ways, this surmises Hobbes's political philosophy, which is based on the ideas of trying to combat fear and to create security in society for humans. Living through the 17th century in Europe, which was a century full of wars and revolutions, from the religious wars of the Reformation to the Dutch Republic rebellions against the Spanish monarchy to the 30 Years' War and, of course, the English Civil War. It's unsurprising that Hobbes, having lived through this period, feels like conflict is a major concern that needs to be confronted. Essentially, all of these conflicts kind of ended in a stalemate or inconclusive victories, which meant that people had to live with each other in a pluralistic society. And many of these wars, particularly based on religion, had kind of strong dogmatic beliefs that led Hobbes to believe that actually the church could be a kind of oppressive force in society and the state should be separate from religion. Hobbes was not from a particularly wealthy family. His father was a vicar and his uncle was a glove manufacturer. But the uncle had quite a bit of money and actually enabled Hobbes to go to a relatively good school in which Hobbes excelled and then eventually went to the University of Oxford. From there, Hobbes managed to actually become the tutor of William Cavendish, who was an Earl of Devonshire, and he remained very close to the Cavendish family throughout his life, kind of travelling around with them through Europe and writing his kind of big pieces while still working as a tutor to the various members of the family. Hobbes wrote several works in Latin, which were very popular in Europe until the 19th century, including a translation of the 4th century BC Greek historian Thucydides, who was writing during the Peloponnesian War, which is another kind of example of kind of the conflict that Hobbes was kind of like drawn to as an idea throughout his life. But his most famous work is called Leviathan, and it was published in 1651, and actually it was published in English, which is quite interesting. It's one of the kind of first major books published in English rather than Latin. Now, due to the arguments that Hobbes proposes in Leviathan, which I'll come on to in a minute, Hobbes was actually kind of exiled along with the Cavendishes for being pro-royalist, and as anti-royalist sentiment was kind of growing, he fled to France and Holland for a while. But in 1651, Cromwell actually welcomed him back to England, because the arguments that he puts forward in Leviathan actually kind of supported Cromwell's new regime too. So the essential kind of premise of Leviathan is the idea that absolute government is needed, because the only other alternative is anarchy and disorder. And he uses the idea of the state of nature, which he describes as kind of the original time period, let's say, when humans had still not kind of properly formed civilizations, kind of, you know, let's say the Stone Age or, you know, like Neanderthal times. And in the state of nature, he believed that humans were kind of predominantly violent, they were self-interested, and the only thing that they're concerned about is actually being able to survive. And if that means kind of attacking your neighbour in order to get their goods or the things that they own or their resources, then so be it. And he describes this state of nature as nasty, brutish, and short. So human life was not very good. It was not a good place to be. And humans essentially created the state or government or rulers in order to get out of this system of complete violence all the time by giving up some of their liberty for security, by giving up the ability to make decisions for themselves and giving that power to a ruler of some kind that actually made the decisions, created laws and created punishments that would ensure that individuals maintained some order and didn't kind of attack each other all the time.
I chose to name his book Leviathan because it actually relates to a kind of large biblical sea monster. And so the Leviathan is like a metaphor for the state, for a ruler of some kind that is controlling the society and is also kind of someone to be a bit afraid of, because actually the fear of the ruler enables everybody to kind of obey the laws. This has led some people to criticize Hobbes as almost a kind of advocate for, you know, absolute authority without any kind of consent from the people, almost like a dictatorship. But actually, we have to remember that Hobbes's philosophy is still very much based on this idea of a social contract where people, the individuals, have rationally decided to form a, you know, unspoken contract with the government in order to resolve disputes, in order for security and preservation of their lives. So it doesn't necessarily actually have to be a monarchy or, you know, like an individual person at all. It could be, it could relate to Parliament in his philosophy, although Hobbes himself believed that monarchs were probably best placed in order to make decisions. Hobbes also does make very clear about the kind of limits of what the sovereign's powers should be. So he says that actually the sovereign should only be able to defend himself and act in the cause of his subject's preservation. So, for example, the sovereign shouldn't actually equalise incomes, for instance, unless that genuinely preserves subjects' lives. So that kind of helps some of the conservative philosophical principles on that front in terms of how to run the economy. So for Hobbes, death is the worst evil to befall a human being, and it is their natural right to prevent death, and by whatever means necessary. So if that means giving power to a Leviathan, then that is what they should do. And men in the state of nature would rightly or wrongly conclude that all other men in society represent a danger to them, and because of that fear that everybody else is kind of violent or out to get them, that would produce war. So in order to avoid that, he says that people should submit their wills to his will and their judgments to his judgment, which he means the sovereign or the Leviathan in that case. Now, because Hobbes places faith in reason, it makes him an Enlightenment thinker, even though he does advocate for absolute power. But do remember that the key point of Hobbes's kind of philosophy is the idea of human imperfection, that human beings are going to do sinful acts, and that is why you must, you know, kind of submit yourself to a state in some way. He didn't like power being limited by a constitution, because he felt like that actually causes a conflict between, like, the sovereign and the people, because actually the sovereign can't then necessarily make decisions that they want to make because of the you know, written constitution that has been created. So again, he's a very strong advocate for, like, a leader being able to make decisions, and actually that even if that leader makes poor decisions or bad decisions, or, you know, decisions that are in some way negative, it is still better to be under a sovereign than not under one at all. And we can see how clearly the impact of the English Civil War on his thinking comes across here, because, you know, Charles I might not have been, you know, the best king. He, you know, certainly went beyond his powers in many ways and definitely wasn't listening to Parliament. But the ensuing conflict and his beheading and the kind of turmoil of Oliver Cromwell and then the restoration of Charles II afterwards just kind of proved to Hobbes that actually, you know, having a sovereign, even if he's not making the best decisions, is better than not having one at all, because then it will just descend into chaos and war. A final criticism that can be levelled at Hobbes is the idea about whether people can actually rationally give up their rights to another person if they are committed to self-preservation. So if self-preservation is the reason that they're giving up their rights, surely it goes against the idea of self-preservation to give all of your rights to someone else in case they abuse those rights that you've kind of given them. The idea behind this, though, is that actually, and this is why Hobbes still does believe in a social contract, that the people give up their rights to the sovereign until the sovereign cannot protect them anymore, because the main thing that is still being driven in their decision making is the right to continue to protect yourself. So if the sovereign is not protecting you, then you kind of have the ability to confront them or try and challenge them. So that also means that it's a delicate balance, because the sovereign as well should be trying to make sure that they don't overstep their boundaries or the limits of their power in fear of the kind of subjects rising up against them. So Thomas Hobbes's book, Leviathan, from 1651, is an absolute cornerstone for political philosophy. It shows us the ideas that order is needed in society, that it must be imposed from above by the state, but it also has to be done with the consent of the people, that sacrifice their liberty for the security that the Leviathan can offer. Without order in society, we would descend into the state of nature, which would simply be a war of all against all.